This is great. It's so nice to see you guys. Nice to be able to connect. I will,
Yeah, straight up.
yeah,
Thanks for
well,
doing this.
yeah, but yeah, why don't you guys start by telling everybody your names and the name of your project?
All right, I'm Johnny Jansen and Cam Teeson.
I like that you said, I'm Johnny Jansen and Cam Teeson, so
Yeah, I was gonna call him out on
you're both of
that
them, and who's beside you?
one. I'm Cam Teeson,
Nice.
and this is my project. Just kidding. It's a
Yeah, and
huge.
what's the name of the new EP?
Francis is
Francis EP.
what we went for.
The Francis EP. What's the meaning behind that name?
There is none. We just like the name.
The story behind it is actually we were recording the second track in the EP, and I had initially called the beat for that Francis,
Yeah.
and then like when you hear the actual song, it's really like a love song. And with lyrically, and so we finished recording it, and we were like, the lyrics are really like gender ambiguous,
Yeah,
so
exactly.
this could be a love song to like anyone, like to Francis.
Yeah,
So
whoever Francis might be.
nice. That is a good name. No
Yeah.
allusion to the 14th century.
Well, no, it could mean that for you. It could. It comes to mind when I think of it now, but that wasn't the original.
Yeah, that's cool. So what inspired it? What w how did this come the this collaboration come about?
Yeah, so I was moving to it in May of this year, decided to move to Toronto, and we were basically working on these tracks around that time, like starting to make the initial beat sketches and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Toronto from Vancouver, where we'd met each other and gone to school together. And then I moved to Toronto, and Cam just came out to visit. He was speaking at a biblical studies conference, and he just came out to visit for the weekend. And we brought together this production that I'd been doing, like through the process of moving here, and some just vocal lyrics that he'd been building. He
Yeah.
kind of took those, and we brought the two together.
Yeah, mostly like the kind of music that you write when you're in like a comfortable relationship, you know? So it was less about does she love me or is this, you know, is she gonna feel the same way? It's less about that, and it's, the lyrics at least are more about like this is just about living now and learning to like explore the mind of another human being and figure out, you know, how to connect with it and how to respect it and, you know, feel comfortable around it and all of those things. And that's a very different aspect of like love than what we often hear in love songs anyway. So I always come from it from like kind of a religious, spiritual, emotional perspective, I guess.
Yeah, you were saying to me earlier the other day, you were saying your biblical studies upbringing really or training has really helped you with this sort of emphasis on otherness, and that's kind of come through in your music.
Yeah, I think really the one thing about music that I love the most is that like or about any form of art or writing or whatever, what the thing that you write or sing or what anything, like no one else will make that exactly the way you did, right? That is something that is wholly yours. No one can take it from you, and that's cliche as heck, but I don't know. I think if we come at songwriting from an approach of just telling your story, because everyone has a different one, and then also tell, because a significant part of your story is figuring out other people's stories and seeing those differences, right? And that's what you have to do in biblical studies, is you have to take texts written by different authors with different motivations and figure out how they connect and the way that they're related to one another.
I appreciate the note about in relationships and in your engagement with the Bible,
Yeah.
letting people's stories speak for themselves,
Exactly.
and not trying to like impose yourself onto them.
Yeah.
why don't you walk us through the four tracks, like what they're called, and unpack them.
All right, yeah. So track number one.
The first track of the EP, it's called Zayday.
Play the game, don't talk. Nothing you say could make it stop. The ring in my ears.
We'll start by talking about the music. Where did the musical style, where did this come from in your journey as an artist?
Well, I think even kind of connecting with the idea of what you were talking about respecting the story, I think that's really a part of what collaboration is. So like when you're collaborating, it's kind of respecting the story of that style of music or of what like what the artist you're working with is trying to say. So for me, like I was bringing together, I think, several styles of music in this case. Mm-hmm. Is kind of like the heaviness and kind of the production of the first track. It's very like Southern trap inspired. So like heavy hi-hats and bass and kind of a connection to that, like just angst of music production of the now. And just combining that with a more lyrical and kind of old-fashioned, you know, songwriting style.
Yeah, a lot of classic harmony comes into it where you don't expect it, which is something that I've always loved about Johnny's production. Well, there's just some interesting chord progressions that show up in songs that sound very poppy. And that happens in other pop music, too. But I think we've done it fairly seamlessly, but you don't notice it as clearly, right?
Yeah, and at the end of the day, the intent is that really, like, letting that pop kind of melodic vocal just come through and shine through everything, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's really about the story. It's about, like, what is communicated, what emotions are you kind of taking from this music.
Yeah. Mm.
And yeah. What is communicated, do you feel like, at the end of the day? What, or at least what was, because we already touched on this a little bit. There's artist intent, and then there's the listener's experience, and those can be separate things, or the listener brings themselves to the table, which is really cool. But what was the kind of artist intent? What were you hoping to communicate here?
Well, I think there's just these intangible conflicts between different types of people in different situations. And for me, like, my closest experience with those types of conflicts was in the relationship that I was in at the time. And so it was lyrics like, I know that I'm committed to this person and I love this person and I care about them, but also sometimes I feel like I can't go on in life. Sometimes I want to curl up and not hear from anyone, even my partner, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something that tons of people experience, and there's this sort of fear that you'll never be able to get over those things that are always tugging at you and stuff like that. So it's, I guess, me coming to terms with those feelings in a lot of cases.
Hmm. And so the relationship, I guess, you said it was a relationship you were in at the time. It didn't last.
So I'm recently, as in 2 weeks, single.
Whoa. Sorry to hear about that, man.
It's chill. We were going different places and we're very close friends and still care about her a lot. We still talk a lot. So I think what that speaks to the music really is that, those struggles are tough and sometimes you can't make it, but also there are ways to approach these really difficult conflicts and situations with love and hope and trust. I think that's what allows people to stay friends after going through something that difficult, right? Yeah.
Sweet. So you mentioned a little bit the first track, Johnny, what you were going for musically. Did the style change then on the other three tracks?
The intent, I think, is just like really cohesion between the tracks. Mm-hmm. So the style it does stay cohesive. There's changes in kind of variations of how, you know, bringing in some different instruments on the first and the third track have a fairly similar instrumentation set,
yeah, yeah.
And the second and the fourth are kind of, they bind together.
Yeah.
So sure. I think that kind of balance in terms of kind of stacking the tracks that way, that it's just the attempt is to make the tracks kind still push forward the narrative.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you have the introduction, which is in this case a fairly aggressive production, and then kind of move into something very pop.
Yeah.
And something where, you know, you can put it on and your mom's going to listen to it and she'll, you know, be bouncing around the house to it.
Yeah.
And then go into something a bit heavier, kind of to continue that that narrative and end on a, you know, I guess, how would you describe the fourth track?
Well, I think the fourth track is, I guess, a coming to terms with of something.
Can we just go through the track titles again?
Yeah, we've got Zayde, and then we've got Francis, and then we have Make Up and Make Out.
Yes, okay, great.
Yeah. We go into Francis. Francis is just this, like, hopeless romantic sort of song.
Probably always love you, run away, come crawling back. I'll probably always love you, drift away, keep looking back.
Anyone who's, you know, been in a serious relationship or even a non-serious relationship has probably experienced this feeling,
mm-hmm.
where there's a part that's missing, right? Something's been ripped away, and you're gonna always want that a little bit, you know? You're gonna always think, oh, that was kind of nice. And I wish that I had it now again.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, people make choices for whatever reason, and people drift away, and it is what it is, right?
Yeah, sort of an interesting thing, isn't it? Like, you, I know that feeling very well. Like, you're going about your day and everything's fine until you fall in love, and then there's a lack, you know, that wasn't really there before. But now that you've fought in love, now you're, like, immediately missing someone that just came into your life.
Yeah, definitely.
But you did it in a cool poppy way, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I will admit that I kind of took, I like the style that Matthew Thiessen from Reliant K has when he writes lyrics in this same sort of style with, like, kind of the really quick enunciation of things. So the second verse goes, I'll probably always seek truth any way I just might find it. And then the rhythm of the next bit of the verse is, and I'll probably always love you, but I can't say I really mind it.
Yeah.
And it's just like this really quick rolls off the tongue thing.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very Reliant K. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. That's my favorite part of that song.
Sweet. So let's go to track three. This one took like a heavier turn musically.
The scary thing I think about this track is I might have just ad-libbed this one, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so this track, it was we had the production that I'd already put down, and it definitely takes a heavier turn, like more bass music, almost garage inspired in some ways. And yeah, we were just recording. We'd recorded the first two tracks. And I just put the track on, and Cam didn't even have lyrics or anything. And I just basically put the track on loop, and he just kind of came up with these lyrics off the top of his head. And we just basically made them work.
Yeah. That's rad.
They fit the context of the song. They were spontaneous. It's improvisation.
Yeah, so, well, that starts with the, I got nobody, right? Mm-hmm. That's that one.
Yeah.
Which, mm-hmm. at the time, I was, like, fairly happily in a relationship. Really happy, actually. But I missed writing lyrics like, oh, I've got no one, I'm so lonely. And so I was like, well, I'm just ad-libbing this, so I might as well dive into that.
Might as well open up the emo side. Anyone who knows about 60% of Cam's vocals are self-deprecation.
Yeah.
It's foundational to the art form.
It comes from an honest place, yeah. though. It's not... Yeah, it's not that I'm trying to be like, oh, woe is me. It's that I know that other people are thinking these things too, and I like singing and writing about it. I enjoy being able to put those complex thoughts into something that, you know, expresses it in a better way than just a complex
argument. The pursuit of authenticity.
Yeah.
And then we finish with Make Out,
yeah.
which is another more dancey kind of pop, or I don't know about dancey, but just like more upbeat kind of.
You let me go, but I don't know how to find you. Ooh, you say just wait, but I can't make out a way to find you.
Yeah, and so that was the first one we did, right, Johnny?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was the only one also that Johnny molded his production a bit to the chords that I had already written for that song, right? So the other three tracks, I hadn't written any melodies for until I heard Johnny's beats, right? But with this song, we actually sat down with it and made sure that it was the same type of chords, at least, that I had when I played it on my ukulele. Which gives it that more kind of classic pop sound, I think.
Yeah, the pop kind of composed sound comes out of just it being kind of a deliberate foundation
yeah.
to the song.
Yeah.
Deliberately kind of trying to start just by sitting down and songwriting.
Yeah.
As opposed to kind of the spontaneous yeah. recording that was Make Up.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Make Up and Zayday as well, I feel like. And even Francis. Like, those three tracks were all very much like, we're just gonna make a thing that we think sounds good, and then we're gonna record some vocals over it. Oh, there could be some cool harmonies that go over these vocals. All right, what else can we add? And usually we didn't really add anything to the production after the vocals had been recorded. Which just shows how good of a producer Johnny is, really.
Yeah, that's sweet. Johnny, how long have you been doing music producing now?
I've been producing music more or less for 2 years now. I've been, you know, always been playing music. I've played jazz since eighth grade, classical music, grew up singing in choirs.
Yeah.
But two years ago, I picked up Ableton, downloaded it on my computer, and just kind of started recording different you know, I play bass and then learn how to program drums onto it, learn how to program different synthesizers, and just kind of take that my background in music and apply it to being able to produce and create something from the ground up, which is a totally different experience than when you're sitting inside a musical group.
Mm.
You know, you have five instrumentalists, you know, guitar, jazz pianist, and I play bass or something like that. In that context, you are striving to be a part of that. And in the context of producing, it gets to a very different feeling where
yeah.
you are trying to build something that can then be the foundation for an artist to sing on, or for an artist to then write to.
Yeah.
It kind of takes that that momentary communication, and you have to turn it into a deeper conversation.
Yeah. which is, by the way, how most pop music is produced anyway. So
yeah, right. absolutely.
Yeah,
that's cool. So it's the songs are all about the sort of like collaborative, you know, relational back and forth, you know. And so was the process between the two of you. There's sort of this conversation going on between the two of you, and and the creative process is very much like a spiritual process as well. Do you guys want to comment on that at all, like the spiritual side of collaboration in relationships and in music?
Collaborating is, I think, just the way that we show that as humans we can connect with one another and we can work together to do cool things. And I would think that, you know, that's fairly in line with this concept of, you know, God creating humans to be creative beings, right? And also God creating humans to be relational beings, right? I think that just music in general is definitely a great analogy for, you know, the way that humans can positively contribute to something bigger than themselves with with however many other people it may be, right?
Yeah, and I think a part of that too is that in music it kind of reflects how in music and in relationships, if everyone's exactly the same, it's pretty boring, and it's a pretty, you know, you lose that sense. It isn't communication. You know, if you compose a song and all you use is four guitars that sound the same, you know, but you only are having one voice there.
Yeah.
Whereas when you have a guitar and a bass and a piano, each musical instrument, each one is very different.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of reflected in the ways that we form relationships. We choose our friends based on, you know, you might have skills and get along doing certain things, but some people are stronger at something, some people are better at doing other things, and that's kind of how you can support each other. And that's kind of that's what music is at the core. Music is that communication. It's that that building of something more beautiful than when you started. And that takes being together.
So there's definitely that relational component to music, but then as your music is reflecting on relationships, there's also, you know, pain, you know, in especially in Zayn and Makeup, you have these like, these deep senses of longing or of just pain or self frustration and things like that that we've talked about. Do you find that pain, that a collaborative process of music can be painful as well?
I would say for the most part, if anything, it was
therapeutic.
Yeah,
it for both of us.
Definitely represented, you know, I moved from Vancouver to Toronto, and amazing transition, but also very challenging. And so going through the challenges of meeting all new people and having to set up in a new city, not having very many friends around initially, and, you know, it's kind of the natural struggle that takes place when you put yourself into a new context.
Yeah.
And it's one of the great things is that you're able to experience so many more, new people and new contexts. But with that comes kind of a struggle
and a loneliness as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And this represented kind of a therapeutic session regarding that.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what this trip is now too. Like, I think the fact that I'm out here this weekend, like, it's very much a matter of, you know, we both kind of need this time to reset, and we'll probably make a lot of music this weekend because that's, you know, that's what we do when we've had, you know, a rough few months or maybe just an okay few months, and, you know,
might be another EP coming soon.
Yeah, you just
we might have just let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
Well, this one is awesome, and so if your next EP is anything like this one, I'll be stoked about it. So
sweet.
Yeah, thanks so much for being on here, and I look forward to sharing this with everybody. Where can people go to find it? I'll put the link in the article, but where can people go to find it if they're just listening?
So you can find it on either of our social channels, SoundCloud, Bandcamp. Mine's at JNZN Music, Jansen Music.
Yeah, and mine's just Cam-Teason.
Sweet. Okay. Thank you so much, guys.
And we plan to be releasing it on iTunes as well.
Right. And when's the date tentatively for the drop there?
Somewhere around Christmas, probably.
Cool.
Everyone needs some. Everyone needs some non-Christmas music right after Christmas.
So. Yeah, great. Okay. Okay. Sweet. Awesome. That was rad. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, man.
Great to talk.